following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome again. Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we're live at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222 if you'd like to give me a call. I've been away for a couple of weeks. Well, I'm not actually away, but off the air. And I want to thank my wonderful colleagues, Dr. Haas, for taking the helm last week and did a great job with the show and discussing all about our radiation oncology program here at NYU Winthrop, which is outstanding. And kudos to him for being the number one CyberKnife center in the world. Really, he's treated more prostate cancer patients with this technology called radiotactic body radiosurgery at NYU Winthrop, really, than anyone else. And, you know, he and the administration here at NYU Winthrop had the vision and several years ago to get this technology here at the medical center. And it's been fantastic. It really has been a tremendous boost to the radiation oncology program and to the hospital, and the patients overwhelmingly have done extraordinarily well. I continue to see so many patients back each week with outstanding results in terms of their prostate cancer, which we do continue to measure the PSA. Even though you've been treated for prostate cancer, you do need to have a PSA level. Of course, that needs to be checked, and we check that every 3 months, typically after, whether or not you've had CyberKnife or radical prostatectomy or cryotherapy. You need to have a PSA every 3 months and be checked, and you do need to be followed. And, you know, as time goes on after the treatment, the frequency of the PSA testing will reduce. So you won't need it every 3 months. You probably need a test every 6 months, as long as everything is okay. And we don't need any other additional tests. You know, patients often ask me, what additional tests do I need to know if I'm cancer-free, you know? And certainly there's no doubt that the MRI has played a huge role now in the whole area and the whole field of prostate cancer management. And there's a lot of excellent studies out there, including some of our own. And we have performed several thousand MRIs of the prostate. We have a large prostate cancer database, and we look at our MRIs each week. And there's no doubt that this has been extraordinarily helpful in the management of so many men, both before you have a biopsy. So if you have an elevated PSA, there may be a need. Not everyone needs an MRI, but there may be a role for MRI. Certainly if you've had a prior biopsy of the prostate and it did not show cancer and the PSA is still rising, then there's a tremendous role there for the MRI, because we can identify and target if there is an area of suspicion within the prostate. And that's called a fusion biopsy, and we're doing a lot of those in our department here in the urology department at NYU Winthrop. So, and that's been, it's documented time and time again now. Large papers, large studies, very prominent medical journals showing the benefit of the MRI. And it also can be very helpful if you've been diagnosed and you're on the surveillance program. And, you know, we have this outstanding active holistic surveillance program for so many patients. We have, I think, over 500 patients now in our database. And the majority of them, I think the last time that I looked, which was a couple of weeks ago, were running around 88% of the patients have not needed any treatment if you follow the protocol, which it's fairly easy to follow. It's a diet and some some vitamins and lifestyle modifications, trying to reduce weight if you're overweight. And there's no doubt that exercise and reducing your weight or your body mass index can have so many health benefits to you. I can't overemphasize that enough. So many guys come in and they're fixated, they're focused, you know, on the small little area of prostate cancer when, you know, they're, you know, 5'10" and weigh, you know, 280 pounds, you know, and their sugars are off the whack and their kidney functions are going to suffer, their liver functions are going to suffer. So you really need to, I think, physicians need to take, and it's not easy because we're all inundated with so many patients these days, but you do need to take a more holistic approach, a more holistic view of people, and not just focus. And, you know, we're all specialists, so this is what we do. We focus just on that one area. But I think one of the other advantages nowadays, and since we've merged over with NYU, we have this new electronic medical record, the EPIC system, which has many advantages. It's not easy to learn, I'll tell you that. I was kind of proud of myself, you know, that I could figure this out. It took a few weeks, but, you know, we've had a lot of training sessions and going over this time and time again. But one of the advantages is that it does make you look at the patient, at least electronically, because you need to document certain things on the electronic medical record in terms of their health in order to, you know, when you open up the chart, it doesn't just open up and say, you know, what's going on with the patient's urinary functions. No, it says what, you know, answer questions about their heart history, their medications, their allergies, you know, what's going on if they had recent hospitalizations, things like that. And if they've had recent hospitalizations, at least if they've been at NYU or some of the other major medical centers that use the EPIC system, which we now have here at NYU Interpretes, you know, all the data is there. All the information is there. You don't have to be on the phone making phone calls to other hospitals or doctors getting the medical records, because it's all right there. And hopefully in the near future, there'll just maybe be one medical system that will all the medical, you know, hospitals will use. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a call, I would love to hear from you at 1-800-848-WABC. That number again is 1-800-848-9222. I've recently joined the Twitter world, and I've tweeted a little bit here and there, and it's interesting to see some of the issues that men are dealing with and why they're tweeting, and, you know, their health issues is what I'm referring to. There has been a lot of interest in testosterone replacement, and I do see this on the internet quite a bit, that men, especially young men, of course, that are trying to build big muscles in the gym and working out, but also guys that have been treated with prostate cancer. And in the past, it was felt that, you know, if you have prostate cancer, you should stay away from any form of testosterone replacement therapy, because there are these receptors on the prostate cells. They're called androgen receptors. And if you take testosterone, it can cause these androgen receptors to allow cells to grow and divide. And it was concerning, especially men who had advanced prostate cancer. You certainly couldn't give them testosterone. And one of the main ways of treating advanced prostate cancer, where it's actually spread beyond the prostate, is to eliminate the testosterone. And that's still holds today. However, in men that have been treated, so if you've had surgery or CyberKnife or cryotherapy, let's say, or even men on active surveillance that are doing well, that have been followed for a while and are doing well, the recent studies are now showing that you can take testosterone. Now, you have to be, this should be under the supervision of a physician. It should be that you need testosterone, not that you're just feeling down in the dumps and you need energy. You need a testosterone level to make sure that your testosterone is low. But if it is low, and you should get a morning level testosterone, that's the best time to get the testosterone. But if it is low, Typically, the number would be under 300. And you are advised of the potential risks and benefits, and you're followed very carefully. Then the testosterone replacement therapy has not really shown to increase the growth of prostate cancer cells in men, in many men. It has not increased the recurrence of cancer. It has not caused any significant oncological cancer adverse events. But again, needs to be under the care of a supervision of a physician, and you need to document that. In fact, you need the testosterone, not just all guys that just are feeling kind of low energy and can't get out of bed and feeling moody and, you know, want testosterone, actually need it. Okay, we have a number of phone calls. I want to thank the guys for doing the call screens this morning. I know that Mike's been on the line. Good morning, Mike from Montclair. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Mike.
I had a radical prostatectomy done by Dr. Lepore 6 years ago, and I had minimal leakage. Then I gained some weight, and it leaked more, and then I lost the weight, and the leaking went away. Is that kind of a common occurrence?
It is. It is, oh. Mike, yeah. I mean, you know, the... No, I know Dr. Lepore is an excellent surgeon at NYU. He's done thousands of radical prostatectomies. Your PSA level, I take, is okay?
Yeah, I'm due for one pretty soon. I have it done yearly.
Yeah.
You know, the more specific one.
Yeah, the hypersensitive.
Right, right.
The hypersensitive, which can give you down to the hundredths place. So, you know, I'm sure it's probably less than 0.1 or something like that, right?
Correct. So weight does have a factor in leaking.
Yes, it certainly does.
Okay.
Now, is your flow okay?
Yeah, everything's great. You
Good.
Know,
okay.
It kind of came. You know what it was like? You would go. You would start to urinate, and you would think you were done. Okay, and then you and I wear like a slight pad because you know if you laugh or cough, but
yes.
It would get soaked. And you don't even know it's coming out. And then I just kind of lost the weight, just to lose the weight, and it went away. So I just
good for
to
you.
Make
good
sure
for you. A big message out there to those listening that have urinary leakage or even urinary frequency. I mean, you know, the bladder is sitting right there by the pubic bone. You have a little, you know, you have, you know, a lot of weight sitting there on from your belly pushing down on your bladder and. You know, your sphincter muscle, which was preserved during the surgery, obviously, because if it wasn't preserved, you'd be leaking all the time. But it's still, you know, as you get a little bit older, the sphincter muscles can get a little weaker, and then you've had surgery. So, sure, the weight's gonna push it out. So, good for you, Mike, for realizing that, and I hope that you can keep the weight off because Yep. that is gonna have not only for the leakage but other health benefits. So, good for you.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Katz. I
Great.
Enjoy the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Okay, Joe is calling. I think Joe from the Catskills, I think you had called a few weeks ago. Is that right?
I did, doctor. I had called you. I had knee replacement surgery, and I had explained to you about them putting a catheter in, and after the catheter was removed, I was having difficulty urinating, and
yes.
there was a burning sensation, and you had suggested to go see a urologist.
Okay.
It took me a couple of weeks to go, so I did go, and I just wanted to thank you very much because you hit it right on the head. I have a urinary tract infection or bladder infection.
Okay. All right.
So they prescribed a antibiotic, and I'm feeling so much better. I mean,
wow.
you know, it's not...
Right.
Because I was so worried about my PSA is only 0.2, and I know that can be a good indicator as to not having cancer. But when I was having all that difficulty urinating, I started having I was projecting all these things that I have cancer and you know prostate problems and all that stuff.
Of course, your mind goes to the worst place always. You know.
Because you hear
things in the community, you hear people that get sick, and then you get a little ache in your back, and the next thing you're thinking you've got, you know, the worst form of cancer, and it's spread. I get that. I'm glad that you you know, listen, I remember when you called and you had a catheter in and you were having burning. And so the likely scenario is you have a urinary infection. So good for you that you, I'm sorry you had to wait 2 weeks.
It was actually a week that I waited, but, okay. You know, you weren't on the air last week. So, but I just wanted to call you back anyway to tell you that, you're the one that promoted that. And I really appreciate it. See, my father had his prostate removed at a very young age. He was 43 years old.
Wow.
And you know, that also plays into my thought process, too. You know, I mean?
Of course.
Thinking about him, and, sure. You know, I remember the difficulties that he went through at that time. So,
I don't know what year that was. How many years ago was that?
That would be probably in the 70s.
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, we've come so far with prostate cancer surgery, you know, especially with robotic surgery and minimally invasive technologies where patients are, you know, back in the 70s, he was probably in a hospital for 2 weeks and leaking and, you know, I can't even imagine all the complications. Yes, of course.
He was in the hospital for a while, and I remember that's what they did at that time. You know, they removed the prostate, and, you know, there really wasn't very much else that they could do for him that I can recall.
Sure.
But as I say, that was part of my thought process, too, that here it is, it's, you know, hereditary, and, you know, I just, I don't know.
Joe, here's what I would tell you to do. First of all, your PSA of 0.2 is very low. I would continue to monitor that in terms of your urinary tract infection, as long as you're emptying your bladder now. You know, you had the catheter in, but now you're over the anesthetic risk. The catheter allowed your bladder to heal. You had a little infection. I would probably just see the urologist maybe in a couple of months and just have him do a quick ultrasound of your bladder just to make sure that you're emptying your bladder well. Okay, that's key. Okay?
Well,
and then if you're emptying your bladder well, Joe, your risk of infections are going to be real low. Okay, buddy?
Thank you, doctor.
Okay.
Actually, just one last thing. The technician who took the test had said that I have a severe bladder infection or a severe urinary. So, I mean, you know, either or. But
either or, it doesn't matter.
Much.
You had it, you were treated, and I'm glad for you. So,
exactly.
I hope you have a good weekend. Make sure you drink lots of fluids as well, Joe. Okay.
And you, thank you, sir. Have a nice day.
You're welcome, Joe. Glad I could help you. All right. We have a few more phone calls, guys. We'll go next to David in Jersey City, and then we'll take Sal. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Dr. Katz. My situation is I had an MRI of my pelvis, and one of the findings was that the prostate gland had two well-circumscribed nodules, less than 1 centimeter in diameter.
Okay.
The right and left lateral lobes, and then it says correlation with PSA levels is recommended.
Sure.
If necessary, ultrasound. So I'm just wondering what I'm up against here. And if
okay,
you
let me just ask you. Let me just go back 1 second, David. Why did you have an MRI of the pelvis?
I had it was a sports injury. I had some pain.
Okay.
And
so
this is
an MRI, a general MRI of the pelvis, not a dedicated prostate MRI. Correct?
It wasn't. That's correct.
Right. And so this MRI is not very sensitive for your prostate in detecting cancer, and prostate nodules may be absolutely nothing. I would, get a PSA check. Have you done that?
I'm due for one very soon.
Okay, and how old are you, David?
I'll be 72 next month.
Okay, well, you sound good. And do you have a family history of prostate cancer?
No.
Okay, so no family history and... no other risk factors. You weren't down at the... I'm reading a lot about the World Trade Center these days. We're seeing a lot of men that come back that were first responders, not only with myeloma and thyroid cancer, but also prostate cancer. But you weren't down at the World Trade Center. And
no.
You weren't in Vietnam and exposed to Agent Orange.
No.
Okay, so you don't have any other significant risk factors for this. I would, first get yourself a PSA test and see the level. For 72, you probably want to be around 3.5 to 4.5, something like that.
Well, I've always been below 1, and the last one I had a year ago was 1.1.
Okay, fine. So I'm not really sure that I would make anything of this prostate. I would have the doctor. I'd probably show it to a urologist there in Jersey City where you live. Just have him look at the MRI. Do a digital rectal examination. I think if the PSA is elevated, I would step it up and maybe consider an ultrasound just to see if there's anything there. or then get yourself a dedicated MP MRI. M as in Mary, P as in Peter, MRI of the
dedicated
prostate.
Dedicated MP?
Yeah. Yeah, which is really something that is going to look at the prostate specifically and see if those, quote, nodules that you have are concerning or not.
Right.
Okay, that's what I would do. Rectal examination, PSA, possible ultrasound in the office, and then you could potentially step it up, David, and see if there's a concern and get yourself an MP 3T. Most of the centers are using this 3 Tesla MRI now. All right?
Dedicated MP 3T MRI?
Yes. That's it. And I'm sure they have plenty of those where you live. And then call me back in a few weeks and let me know how you're doing.
Thank you so much, doctor. I appreciate it.
Sure thing, Devin. Have a great
day.
All right?
Bye-bye.
I'm not overly concerned about you there. Sal, I know you're in the car phone. In the car, we have a few more minutes here on Katz's Corner. How you doing, Sal?
Good. I'm good. I have two questions for you, doctor. First of all, I've been your patient, and then I moved out of New York. Anyway, one of my questions is, I had a prostatectomy about 7-8 years ago, and ever since then, my PSA is going up. The last time I had my PSA went up 40%.
What is the number, Sal?
It's very, very low. It's like 0.2.
Okay, but it is rising, and you've had the radical prostatectomy for prostate cancer. Is that right?
Correct. Now,
go ahead.
My question is Casodex the only, because it makes me tired? And my other question is, I have an ED where I have no sex drive at all, and I'm just wondering what there's anything we can do.
Okay. And it was it my suggestion, Sal, to put you on Casodex? That was my recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember the exact scenario, but, you know, Casodex typically, which is a hormone-like mechanism, it interferes with the action of the androgen receptor, something I was talking about before, typically keeps your testosterone level intact. So typically, you don't feel tired from it. You can get some gynecomastia, some breast enlargement or breast tenderness from it. But the concerning thing is that if your PSA is rising, and you've been on Casodex, is that right?
I've been on Casodex for the past 2, maybe 3 years, and it's been low because I never had a high-producing PSA. So now I'm a little tired, like I get sleepy. And my testosterone is a normal level, but I have no drive at all.
I see.
I don't know if there's anything we can do about it, but I heard you say that now people are getting testosterone to help them out.
Yes,
so. My testosterone level is up there. It's like 500.
That's normal, Sal. That's one of the advantages, as I was saying, of this monotherapy Casodex, which is used in certain situations. But I think if the PSA is rising, and if you have not had radiation, is that correct?
No, I've had radiation.
Oh, you did. Okay, so you had surgery and radiation.
Yes, plus I had a lot of fat on my, my breast that I had to remove because it was so painful.
From the Casodex.
From the Casodex, yes.
Yeah. Well, I think if your PSA is still rising and you've been on Casodex for a while, one thing that you would definitely need, Sal, is to be scanned. So you'd need probably an MRI of the pelvis and a bone scan. I don't know if you've had those lately, but that's certainly something that we would recommend for the cancer patients. I would be concerned about giving you testosterone for two reasons. A, your testosterone level is normal, it sounds like, and B, with the PSA rising, showing, even if it's small levels of rising, that there may be some activity of the cancer. See, I was saying before that testosterone replacement therapy may be safe in many men where you have cancer and it's inactive, whether even if you're on surveillance and it's not active, or you've been treated before and the PSA is not rising, but in your particular case, if it's rising, and your testosterone is normal, Sally, I'm not feeling that for you. But I am feeling that you should probably get re-scanned. And if the scans are clear, hopefully they are, you may want to consider coming off the Casodex, because there are cases where some of these cells can, they can mutate, they can change. And sometimes, believe it or not, you know, Casodex, they can grow on the Casodex. And they're tricky, some of these cancer cells. And you're still at a low level. And there have been a lot of studies looking at Casodex withdrawal phenomenon. It's well published. You can take a look at that. Some of the doctors at Memorial Sloan Kettering actually a number of years ago published on it. So, you know, I think if it's not working and the PSA is rising, that would be something I would consider, Sal. Okay?
Well, what he did, Dr. Katz, is he doubled my Casodex.
Oh, who's he?
My doctor.
I see, another doctor. Well, that has never really been shown to be helpful. And in fact, that can cause more toxicity. And in fact, it's not really approved here in the United States for more than the 50 milligram dose. In Europe, they've done it where they give you four pills a day, 200 milligrams. You know, each pill is 50 milligrams, but there are more side effects with breast enlargement and also diarrhea. And it hasn't really been shown to be that beneficial. So I'm not so sure I would have done that.
So what should I do?
I think, where do you live, Sal?
I live in Florida.
Florida, okay. Where in Florida?
Sarasota.
Okay, so you've got great, you know, there's a lot of medical oncologists there. I would go to a medical oncologist, okay, that deals with prostate cancer. And have him or her go over your case very carefully, get some new scans, and get into a medical oncologist that deals with prostate cancer. Maybe you can ask around. Maybe you have an internist. Okay? That's what I would do for right now. Okay? You don't necessarily need a urologist at this point. Your prostate's already removed. You've had radiation. But I think you need a different person managing your case, Sal.
I would appreciate it. Thank you very much, Dr. Pat.
Okay, buddy. All right. Good
Thank
luck.
You.
And. You know, let me know in a few weeks, okay?
You bet. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All right, Sal. Good luck down there. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's complicated. It's not easy. There's no one right answer, especially when someone's already been treated. You know, you've had treatment, you've had surgery, you've had radiation, now you've on medication, now the PSA is rising. Now what? And there's, thankfully, there's a whole host of new, you know, medications that have been approved recently for this type of a situation. But yes, they come at a cost. And a lot of them, unfortunately, for men, have the side effects of sexual dysfunction and tiredness, because they can, even though they spare the testosterone, they can lower the testosterone levels. So that's something that needs to be addressed there for Sal. I will be going. I'm very excited this week. I have not been to Europe in a long time, and I've been invited to Spain to give a plenary talk, a keynote talk, at the International Society of Cryotherapy in Madrid this week. I'll be leaving Tuesday night. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a wonderful meeting, and always gives me the chance to collaborate and discuss with other physicians and scientists about what they're doing. And I'll be presenting our data from NYU Winthrop about the role of focal cryotherapy, which is where you don't employ radiation or surgery, but actually just freeze off the particular zones of prostate cancer. And it's becoming actually much more in vogue these days. And a lot of it is because of what I was saying earlier about the MRI. And how we can detect exactly the zones or the regions of where these abnormal cells are. Well, that's the end of the show, guys. I want to wish you all a wonderful day. And thank my wonderful help in the studio there. And we'll see you next Sunday. Have a great day, everyone. And tune in every Sunday. This is Dr. Aaron King.